Blog Talk Radio.
Your charity, if you have one,
basically, let's think about it. Okay, I have three different pages. One is for my social media marketing firm, Go Media. The next one is for this radio show, The Social Media Chef. And the third one I have is for my charity, which is called the Go League, which helps people find and source volunteers. So those don't really need a group, and they don't need a profile, because none of them are a real person. They're actually an organization. So pages are a great fit for organizations. They are also great if you are if you have a flagship product. But I would really focus on it just brand centric. So let's talk about, okay, you're a dentist. You can do your dental practice as a page. Say you're a pet sitter. You can do your pet sitting services as a page. Say you are an airline. You can do your entire airline as a page. Simple as that. And where do you create a page? Well, to get started, you can get it either from your profile in the top right-hand corner. There's options. And also, before you even log in and you're on that blue Facebook page that's asking for all your information, you can see kind of halfway down on the right-hand side, it gives you an option to create a page. Now, there's two different ways of creating a page. You can create a page without a Facebook account, or you can create one with a Facebook account. I tend to like to have it tied to a real person, because then it helps with the feedback loop, so to speak. But you can, of course, I've seen people do it in the past, and they've been successful with just signing in right there and creating a page off the back of just that one blue Facebook sign-up. Again, you're listening to me, Chris Tompkins, on The Social Media Show. Today we're going to be talking about Facebook pages, and we're also talking about some killer kick-butt pecan pie recipe later on today. Now, okay, so you've got your page. You know where it is. You signed up. What I like to do is to really stress to fill out every element of that profile. You know, when you're getting in there, you want to put all the links to your website, to Twitter, to LinkedIn, what have you. But they ask you lots of questions. Answer them all, okay? So let's look at it. The first thing you want to do is get a really killer, high-quality picture that you're able to put in to as your profile picture for that page. A good rule of thumb is to get your picture to be 300 by 300 in terms of pixels. If you can do 300 by 300, that is a perfect square. And what that will do, this is a beauty, anytime you put an update, it will be absolutely perfect. It will show the picture absolutely as it is. But say you have 300 by 600, so you're 300 tall and you're 600 wide, well, 300 of your width is going to be cut off of your logo. And guess what? Facebook chooses width cut off. So it could make no sense. It could be completely illegible, totally not make any sense. So I would really suggest using a rectangular logo or even creating a new version or what have you for your Facebook page. And that will just help you when it shows up, because anytime someone's a fan of your Facebook page and you put an update, it pops into their newsfeed just like you're one of their friends. So you want something that's instantly recognizable that keeps all of the main qualities of your logo. Okay? Next, what we want to do is any other pictures that you want to add, make sure that they make sense. Now, what I like to do, let's not talk about that just yet. Let's see on the main page. I'll jump around on this one for you. Then you'll see under your logo on your Facebook page, it's going to ask you, there's going to be like a white box that says write something about your page. That is your prime opportunity to put links, okay? You want to put links there to your website, to your Twitter, to your Facebook, to your LinkedIn, as much as you possibly can. If you like people to actually call your business, make sure that you put your phone number there. That is making yourself instantly accessible to your market, however you want them to contact you. Email addresses, what have you, but you only get a certain number of characters, so you might have to play around. Now, one thing to know, any link that you put in there is instantly clickable. So once you put a link in there, click off and then click on the link to make sure that link's working, because nothing looks more unprofessional if you're using an old website. I've seen that happen to many people. Their website, they changed just the domain just slightly, and they left the old website on there. Make sure it's up to date. Make sure it clicks through to what you want to click through. If you have the phone number, make sure it rings your phone, not somebody else's. I've seen that happen as well. So just make sure that all of the information is accurate, fresh, and does exactly what you want it to do. Now, that's your white box. Now, the next thing you can do is you can add that page to your favorites or to another page's favorites. Always do that if you have more than one, because that gives you interlinkage. And also, you can add it to your favorites, which is something that you definitely want to do. Now, when we're talking about the other, there's other things that you can do to a page to make it really look good. These are my suggestions. The first you want to do is you want to add photos, but here is a different way of adding photos that you may have never thought of. Why don't you go through your website and every different page that you have for your website, obviously you're probably going to have some images. Well, make photo albums that reflect the different pages on your website. So basically what you're doing is you're duplicating what you have on your website onto your Facebook page. Then, as you know, when you do pictures, you can put descriptions. Put descriptions that are on the pages. So, for example, I have a page that says, maybe social media marketing campaigns. I have three pictures on there, and there's three different sections to my copy. What I would do is I would put the copy in there, and I'd put the link to the page, and I would put it against each one of the pictures. So then all the pictures have descriptions and links, all of which are searchable on Facebook, which is really good for social media optimization, which is really great on Facebook if you can achieve it. So the first thing I do, and this can take a lot of time. For example, I've done this for companies. I mean, we do Facebook at Go Media every day, so it's a lot of Facebook work. But for example, if you want to talk about the members of your organization, so you want to say your staff. Well, say you have 50 members of staff. Well, that's going to take some time. So just be patient. It won't kill you. And it's nice to get people's photos up there. Also, if those people are on Facebook, why don't you put their Facebook link so you can get more linkage out of it on Facebook? Basically, think outside the box. You know, just because it says info, don't type in something that's really bland. Make it interesting. Think out of the box. Putting all of your different web pages and try to duplicate them in the photo album category is pretty cool, and it will actually get you a lot more interest. Then every time that you post something in those photo albums, it goes into your main feed, which then goes into your friend's feed. Feed meaning all the activity on your main quote unquote wall on your group, on your page, and then that will show up in the main news feed with anybody that you're connected with. Okay, I hope that was pretty straightforward. It can be confusing because this is pages can be a hard topic to really grasp because Facebook tends to be about one-to-one relationships, and this is one of those bucking the system type trends. So next up on the social media chef, let's talk about filling in the information section. There's a tab that says info. Fill it in as much as you possibly can. Add links, add phone numbers again. Just really pack it out. If you want examples of this, there's many people that do it right online. You can also check out my own. I don't have mine filled out as much for GoMedia, but it works wonderfully. Another thing is you want to include links to your other profiles. You can either do this in that white box in the info section. You can put links as updates on your page, or you can do all three. Me, Chris Tompkins, all three. You want to really let them know where they can find you. Now, another thing is there are absolutely wonderful applications that you can put on your pages. Once you create a page, anytime you log into it, it's going to bring you right to your edit screen, which is a new feature, which they'll probably change in 5 minutes after I tell you this. But on there, you can change and add applications. You can do a lot of different things. A couple applications that people like to do, like Twitter is a big one. Now, let me just tell you, if you do plug in Twitter, it's going to take every single one of your tweets. So if you're saying, like say I say, want to sign up for my newsletter? Click here. Well, I put that on Twitter, that's also going to my Facebook page. Well, how about if somebody retweets that or basically sends it to their network on Twitter saying, retweet at Crisco Media, join our newsletter. And then I want to thank that person for doing that because that's kind of etiquette on Twitter. And saying, at JohnBoy UK, thanks for the retweet. Well, that was a tweet that I put out right there. That's going to go on the page on Facebook. So everything, even conversations that are goofy and that you don't want seen, will go right there. So if you're using Twitter as an announcement platform, you don't do too many, it's not irritating. But if you do multiple tweets and you're really on Twitter every day, I would say no. If you do one tweet a day or once every week, definitely link it up, you know. But the more regular, the less I want to see you. The other one that I really enjoy, and I have it on my profiles, and it's gotten such great feedback, is something called Social RSS. I'll let you look at that because it's a bit of explaining. But what it does is it allows you to put on websites that regularly update news that will immediately post them to your update, to your main wall, sorry. So, for example, if I'm signed up, one of them that I love is ThePeCurious.com, which is, you know, food, which I love. We know this. So it will take two recipes a day and post them to my Facebook profile. But I can also set them for my pages. It's very simple. There's lots of different settings. So I would suggest playing with it, but don't rely on it as your sole way of interacting with people on Facebook, okay? All of these need to be worked together with regular updates, okay? Not just one application that automates everything, because that's just not how it works. And remember that, please. Another thing is if you have lots of pictures and videos, for example, say you are a natural cosmetics firm and you went to the Natural Cosmetics Expo in Sacramento, California. Totally made up all of that stuff. Isn't that good? Off the cuff. Very original, right? But you had a lot of people of your target market come and buy your products, and they were trying it on. You're doing demos. Take pictures of all of the stuff and put it on Facebook. This is the way to go. You know, if you're doing something along those lines, it's really a great way of your information very accessible, which is, you know, the way that we really want to do it. Now, if you have video, there's other options for you to put the video up there as well. So, commercials, or you have testimonials. Oh, if you have video testimonials, we'll talk about this more next week. Next week's Social Media Chef is going to be all about the power of video and how you can really use video to enhance your brand. Video testimonials is obviously a huge, huge, huge part of that. And how powerful would that be for people to see that? Also, when you post it, they'll be on your main feed, on your wall. People will be able to see it. If they're connected with you, it will go on to their news feed. It's just so viral. It just promotes the viral aspect of it. Of course, your videos and your pictures and everything have to be suitable to your brand. They have to be aligned. So don't get too crazy. I've had clients that have come and gone. And I looked at their Facebook page, and it was pictures of them in jacuzzis and drinking beer, and their whole thing was personal development. And I just thought, perhaps you with a bikini-clad girl drinking champagne in a jacuzzi. I mean, maybe that was success in the 80s, but I don't know if that's really what we want to be. Leisure Shoot Larry kind of vibe now, especially because he was going after some very targeted market that would not like that. We'll leave it there. But just be careful. Make everything on point. Share everything needs to share a position. Now, another thing is link heavy. I love putting links. I think the more you link out, the more successful you'll be online. So share your links. For example, if you have your page, put the link to your page on your main profile. Tell people about it. Put a link to your page in your emails. Okay, this is something that people need to do. If you have a Facebook page and you're wondering why you don't have any people, I bet you for sure that you do not have it on your email signature. You have to do it. You can shrink it. What I would suggest, this is kind of me just rattling on about this and to show you how effective it is, do a bit.ly, bit.ly, just type it into your browser, and that will take you to this service that will allow you to shorten links. It will also allow you to see how many people click on it. So create a unique link for your emails and then track it every week. See how many people are clicking on your emails. And also, don't be afraid to say, hey, I just launched a Facebook page. You should check it out. I'd love for you to connect with us on there. Ask for the business. Don't just create a page and then go, oh, why don't I have any friends? Well, you need to start being proactive about telling people. Put it in your newsletter. I mean, business cards could be a little bit much. But anytime you're doing communication or written communication, you know, throw a mention in. It's another way of making you look savvy. It makes you more transparent, and it really helps build trust. Okay, that's it. I beat the drum. Just do it. I highly recommend it. It's going to work. Then you need people to help you grow this. Now, depending on what your network's like, I'm sure you can have some people that might want to help you promote the page. It's really great to promote it to all your friends or whoever's relevant. And also, if you have some really great contacts, ask them to share it with their people too. It's a really great way of getting more fans. Of course, you can advertise, but not so much. If you have an in-house database, you can email them about it. Even Constant Contact, if anyone uses Constant Contact, they actually have a template for an email blast that looks like a Facebook invite. Okay? How cool, right? Well, you can do that just from Constant Contact. So, all in all, what I'm telling you here is, you can make a really dynamic page. You just really want to pack it with information and links, get the right people there, and then continually promote it. Now, how many posts should you put up a week? I don't really care as long as you do it consistently. I would suggest I do it for my clients a couple times a day, but if you're doing it once every 2 days, that's fine. Just do it once every 2 days. Don't do it once every 2 days for 1 week and then leave it go for a month. Consistency is the key. Also, inviting everybody and their mother to join you on there is a really good idea. All right? So if anybody out there who's listening to today's episode of the Social Media Chef has more questions on the whole pages, the Facebook page thing, you can totally email me, info@surfreshmedia.com, and I would love to help you out more. Or if you want me to help you out with a campaign, we can definitely do that as well. But I want to talk about, we've done all this hard work. I'm sweating. This is so much hard work on this page. We are going to move into something a little bit more interesting for the taste buds, which is going to be this pecan pie recipe that you're going to absolutely die for and love and do it and call it your own. I don't care. Just make it. You're going to love it. It's a diet breaker, though. I'm sorry. So break out the elastic pants. This is when you're going to think I'm crazy. I was watching, because anytime, I'm such a holiday person because I love the holiday food, right? We know this already because I've done shows on limoncello and canning and all that kind of stuff. Well, Thanksgiving's coming up. I'm having a big Thanksgiving at my place, and I'm doing all the cooking, so I wanted to get some ideas. So I popped in Martha Stewart's, okay, you're laughing, Martha Stewart's holiday DVDs. She has one for Thanksgiving and one for Christmas and one for New Year's Eve, and she's a Master Chef's one. You can find them probably at discount stores because I don't think they sold very well, but it's like 3.5 hours of ideas. It's unbelievable, great price, great value. If you can find them, I would say get them. You have to deal with a lot of Martha because a lot of Martha can be kind of irritating, but it's so worth it. So she had a pecan pie recipe that made me think of a recipe that I've made before, and I thought, well, hey, I got some inspiration. Let me share it with you guys, okay? This is so simple. I'm all about simple desserts here. Let's go shopping first. This is going to feed about, depends on how big your slices are, but I'd say maybe like 6 to 8. I like big slices of pecan pie, but if you want smaller pieces, because, this is rich stuff here, people. Okay. This is what I would do. If you want to make your own dough, God bless you. You know, go ahead and do it. I personally, like probably a lot of people listening here, we don't have a lot of time to go and make dough and let it rise and blah, 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 blah. Go buy a crust. That's my big piece of advice. get a frozen crust, thaw it out a little bit, Bob's your uncle, easy. Then what I would do is, you know, get the one pie crust. I like the medium. You don't want to go too thin or too deep. Go something in the middle. Four large eggs, one cup of light corn syrup, a third cup of brown sugar, a quarter cup granulated sugar, four tablespoons of butter, unsalted for sure, no salted butter, a teaspoon of vanilla, half a teaspoon of salt, three cups of pecans, okay? Not the full ones, half. And, you know, whipped cream if you want to serve it. But this, oh my gosh, get ready, this is so easy. It's so easy, but it's kind of disgusting in a way because there's a lot of corn syrup in this. Basically, you don't really need to do the oven at all. This is the best part. You want to make the filling, get a large bowl with the eggs, the corn syrup, the sugar, the butter, the vanilla, the salt. Just mix the hell out of it until it's smooth. Then you want to, once it's smooth, you mix in the pecans, okay? This is tough stuff, guys. I hope you're not sweating now. Then you pour that mixture into your chilled pie crust, or basically the one that's been defrosting. Then you want to put it into you want to put it on something that's so no one's going to knock it in the refrigerator, because you really want to set it. I'm usually okay. I can just put it in the refrigerator and let it set. But if you want to put it on a baking sheet, you can. That's one way to keep people like, oh, okay, there's something I need to not bump into in the refrigerator. But I would, I think I'm going to go back on that. I think what you should do is put it in the oven for about an hour. This will help it set quicker. If you put it in the oven for about an hour, 375, take it out, cool completely. I would say maybe 5 or 6 hours to cool the pie. Or overnight's fine. I'm an overnighter. But hour in the oven, 375, you want it to be a little jiggly in the middle, so not fully burnt or fully jiggly. You want it solid. And then put it on the counter, let it dry, and it's ready to serve the next day. Honest to God, that's so easy, right? Another thing that you can do is when you take it out of the oven, this is something that a lot of people like to do before it fully sets, to get some get some extra pecans and make a design on top. To be honest, I don't have time for that. I just let it set. There's enough pecans on it already. It's delicious. Ready to go. So the next day, cut it up, serve it. You want to put it with whipped cream, go for it. Ice cream, whatever you like with it, go for it. It is so easy. It's right up there with their traditional pumpkin pie recipe that everyone, I'll make it, because usually it'll be like, I'll make for Thanksgiving or Christmas, we'll do sticky toffee pudding and pecan pie and pumpkin pie. And everyone's always raving about the pumpkin and the pecans, and I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, start raving about the sticky toffee, because that was more of a pain in the butt. Because it's always that way. The things that are the simplest are the ones that people are going to enjoy the most. And the pumpkin pie, this is just like a little sidebar. If anybody gets a can of pumpkin pie, in the U.S., it's Libby's is the one that you can get. I think you can actually get it in Canada as well. It has a pumpkin pie recipe on the back. That's the one I use. How about that? Easy. It's so easy. The flavors are all balanced. The pumpkin comes through beautifully. It's absolutely perfect. It's just like the Toll House chocolate chip cookies. People who, for generations, say that, oh, you know, my mother's chocolate chip recipe is to die for. Oh, well, where'd she get it? Off the back of the chocolate chips. So the recipes on the food, just a little pointer, are actually pretty good. They actually taste wonderful. So I'm going to end it there for you guys. So I hope your pecan pies turn out great. And your Facebook page turns out just as yummy. If you do have any questions, please, please, please feel free to email me at info@servefreshmedia.com or join us online at servefreshmedia.com, and you can connect with us all different places there. Now, if you want to join us next week, make sure 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, we'll be talking about video and how, yep, you do need it in order to make a splash online. So don't miss our show. Again, thanks so much for joining us, and we will see you next week on the Social Media Chef.